Okay, so today I'm going to talk about the correlation of placental anthropometric measures in subsequent pregnancies, and I'm using data from the National Collaborative Prenatal Project. So I have no relationships to disclose. There's several studies that show there's a high correlation of birth weight among siblings. And we know that birth weight is influenced by a variety of factors, one of which is the placenta. The placenta, of course, I think of it as the window to the fetal development, the window to the womb. So the placenta provides cumulative insight into the intrauterine environment. It's the maternal-fetal organ of exchange, nutrition, respiration, excretion, hormones, immunologic barrier between the maternal and fetal tissues. So I had to put a picture of the placenta. So just some background. We know that gross placental anthropometric measures, and when I say gross placental anthropometric measures, I mean things like placental weight, diameter, chorionic plate area, and I'll show you that a little bit later. These things are associated with birth weight. However, there's little data on the correlation of placental anthropometric measures in subsequent pregnancies. So when I was a grad student, someone asked me, well, have you ever looked to see what happens from pregnancy to pregnancy? And I hadn't looked, so I decided, well, it's fine, I should look at that. There's even less data on gender concordance and the correlations of placental measures. So the purpose of this analysis was to look at the correlation between gross placental anthropometric measures in the first and second pregnancies, and also to assess the correlation between gross placental anthropometric measures in the first and second pregnancies among gender concordant and gender discordant pregnancies. So this is data, again, from the National Collaborative Prenatal Project. This was a prospective cohort study that was conducted 1959 through 1964. This project enrolled about 60,000 pregnancies, and the purpose of the study was to look at factors related to pregnancy and neurodevelopmental development in children. So there are a number of clinical measures, interview, anthropometry that was obtained, and then the placental measures, some of which were placental weight, placental thickness, chorionic plate area, and this is a simple correlation analysis. So just a little bit more about the study population. As I said, it was about 60,000 pregnancies, and well, this data was collected in the 1950s, so 51,826 made to the electronic form. And then I applied the eligibility criteria. So I wanted only singleton births without congenital anomalies, black or white race, and gestational age 36 to 42 weeks. So I ended up with 34,345 eligible pregnancies. Then there was missing data, so that got me down to 24,000 pregnancies. And I didn't want to look at pregnancies beyond the second pregnancy. So there were several moms with, of course, multiple pregnancies within this cohort, and I just wanted to look at the first and second one. Then there was also the situation when there was no data for the two pregnancies. So for example, a mom may just have had one pregnancy and not a subsequent pregnancy, so that mom would not be included. So I ended up with an analytic sample of 3,708 pregnancies, and that would be for 1,854 moms. So the placental measures that I looked at was placental weight, placental thickness, so they slice the placenta and just look at the thickness, cord insertion distance, which would have been the distance from the umbilical cord to the closest edge, largest diameter of the placenta, and then smallest diameter, and then chorionic plate area, and we used the area of an ellipse as an approximation. So I just did some simple descriptive statistics. I did the sign test, the non-parametric test for paired data, and just a simple Spearman's correlation for non-normal data for this. So here I have selected sociodemographic characteristics by pregnancy. So the only thing that was significant, as we would expect, would be maternal age. So the mothers were, of course, older at the second pregnancy than the first. The annual income, and I want to draw your attention to this, was less than 5,000 compared to more than 5,000, which would be equivalent to about 40,000 in 2012. So there was no difference in that. There was also no difference in the sex of the infant from the first pregnancy to the second. It was roughly 50-50. Looking at selected placental anthropometric measures by pregnancy, placental weight, quite similar, cord incision distance, largest diameter, smallest diameter, coronary plate area, quite similar. The only statistical difference was in placental thickness, where in the second pregnancy, the placenta was slightly thicker than the first pregnancy. Selected maternal and infant anthropometric measures by pregnancy. The second pregnancy, the infants were slightly heavier. Moms were also had higher BMI in the second pregnancy, but again, let's just think of, this is the 1950s, 60s, we would never see BMIs like this in a contemporary cohort. First pregnancy, 22.4, second pregnancy, 23 kilograms per meter squared. Pregnancy weight gain, it seemed to be less in the second pregnancy compared to the first. So I just looked at the Spearman's correlation coefficients, and everything's correlated for all the pregnancies, all of the placental measures. Looking at gender concordant, very similar. Gender discordant, also very similar. And I really expected to see something different with the gender discordant pairs, but that wasn't the case. So placental thickness was significantly higher in the second pregnancy compared to the first. All placental anthropometric measures in the first pregnancy were significantly correlated with that of the second pregnancy. And here I show selected anthropometric measures by pregnancy among the gender concordant group. And these are all statistically significantly different. So the first pregnancy, the birth weight is slightly higher in the concordant group. Placental weight also higher in the first pregnancy, and cord insertion distance also longer in the first pregnancy. This is among the concordant group. And there was no difference in the discordant group, so I didn't show that. So in summary, placental anthropometric measures is an index in an index pregnancy is correlated to that in subsequent pregnancy, and gender concordance doesn't seem to influence the correlation between the placental anthropometric measures, between the index and the subsequent pregnancy. So the strength of this little analysis is it focuses on a novel risk factor, something that's really understudied. There was a standard protocol for the examination of the placenta. The limitations is that this is historical data, and there may be measurement error for these placental measures. Also, one of the things that I didn't look at was the time interval between pregnancies, and I think that would be interesting to look at. So future research, this should be done in a contemporary cohort. Also, it would be good if we could include some histopathologic measures, and we also need to apply some analytic approaches to capitalize on the multiple measures of placental growth and structural maturation that can capture the aspects of placental deficiency. So I'd like to acknowledge my advisor, Frederick Brancati, who's passed away, and Dr. Cole. Maternal factors that influence placental growth. So things like smoking and gestational diabetes, hypertension. And so these are risk factors that can be addressed, which would have some impact on placental growth, which would influence birth weight.